live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome, everyone, to another wonderful evening of the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name is Alon.
And my name is Ara.
Now, we do this show, the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show, every week here at KFNX News Talk Radio Studios from 9 to 10. Of course, if you're on the East Coast, it's midnight to 1, and then that'll change when you change your clocks and we don't. But for right now, you can find us steadily on the dial or the internet site, chatterboxgameshow.com. You can also join in live chat during the show if you go over to the live chatter room, where I am right now, able to communicate if I actually pay attention when I'm not talking on the air. The way we start the show is by talking about games we've been playing lately, and R actually came over this weekend because last week we talked about the games that he was playing. What was it, Outrun 2006?
Yeah, and Ace Combat 6.
I think it's funny that we're referring to a game that in the title is 2 years ago. By the way, when I went to the movie theater this weekend, I saw they had that in the arcade. I don't know if you realize it was an arcade version.
Oh, yes. It's a sweet game, isn't it?
It was sort of like a callback to
the time,
games of yesteryear.
To the time when games were really awesome.
Well, I mean, I don't think it really reached out to me as some amazing game, but it certainly was arcadey, and you don't come across games that are terribly arcadey these days.
Indeed.
Yeah, Geometry Wars was a great example of a very arcade-like experience, but you know, not much else out there. I guess Pac-Man Championship Edition,
that's another sweet one.
I would say so.
But
anyway, like Xbox Live Arcade is the only place you're gonna find stuff like that these days, because arcade games generally were lower key. There wasn't as much development involved in an actual arcade game, so it was kind of fun to play your Outrun. Never got around to Ace Combat 6. Did you take that home with you?
Yeah, I took it. I just decided that since we didn't play it already, it wouldn't have made any difference.
Well, I wanted to give it a shot. You're all like, oh, I gotta go.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, pressing times call for pressing matters.
I understand. So I didn't get a chance to play Ace Combat 6, but I did play that, the Outrun game. And I had played the very similar Outrun 2 prior to that, but that was a long time ago. And the funny thing about 2006 version is that I don't know that this isn't in the Outrun 2 version, but I don't remember playing it in Outrun 2. So for those who aren't familiar, Outrun 2 came out, and then, like, Outrun 2006 came out after that.
Yeah.
It was just like a revamped version of number 2.
I think it's just like they added some more tracks or whatever.
Yeah.
More stages.
It was kind of like the old Street Fighter 2, you know, Hyper Fighting or whatever edition, right? They added onto the same game. And so in the one that we played that Ara brought over, there's this whole... Like a game?
Heart attack mode.
Mode?
Heart attack mode. That's what you're talking about. Isn't
this is the one where you have to impress your girlfriend.
Yes. Isn't that the best thing ever?
Yeah. So one of the funny
parts.
I'm
sure most girls will think it's the best thing ever, too, but.
I don't think that your girlfriend played a role in the first game. It was just funny that you had your girlfriend in the car with you. And I'm talking like Outrun from 1985. I'm guessing at the year, but 20 some years ago. And so she was in that, like, Ferrari or Corvette or whatever that car was made to look like.
Right. So basically, the developers were thinking, how can we represent continuous male bashing, much like TV sitcom media of late?
Yes.
And this is how they do it.
Yeah. And so she's all like, oh, man, I can't even remember now what she said. But she tells you, drift more, you know?
Yeah. So demanding.
Pass more cars, and then she'll, like, smack you if you fail.
Yeah, she choked you when you didn't do it right.
Did she?
She was choking your neck.
Oh, actually she was.
You know what? This is a game that condones domestic violence.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to stand for it.
And so your score, so to speak, is heart capsules in that portion of the game. And so, like, the longer you drift, the more hearts you collect.
Right. Why don't we have people complaining about this? You know, why does it always have to be the chainsaws and the bloodied heads?
I don't know.
Meanwhile, in Outrun 2, we have, you're driving, you're trying to drive, you know, all safe and everything, and your passenger girlfriend is...
She's blonde.
She's blonde, and she's choking you with, I think, you know, intent for harm.
It's bad female stereotype, the blonde bimbo telling you what to do, and yeah, beating you up, which I think I don't like to condone. Now,
this has no place
if you play
for
a little bit
kids.
Of the old smack that bitch up, you know, put her back in her place afterwards, then I would understand. I mean, it would be a little bit more okay. Because as long as we create the proper pecking order in these games. Isn't that right?
Indeed. I'm sure you'd love that. I'm sure Jack Thompson would love that.
Yeah. Oh, there's more news about him.
Yes.
I guess apparently the judge that's deciding on his bar trial or whatever,
yeah,
to see if he's allowed to remain a lawyer, I guess. I just saw something on Game Politics about it. Just saying, like, she needs more time or whatever. So I'm going to be like, you don't need more time. I'll just tell you. He's just bat-ass insane.
Yeah. So I guess what the moral of the story is, chicks beating up guys, it's funny. Even the concept of the other way around, apparently it's go to hell.
Yeah, so, apparently not so funny.
You know, so that's kind of weird and wacky there. I don't know.
As entertaining as I find it, it doesn't seem to fly these days. So have you played anything else recently that we want to talk about?
Let's see here. No, it's kind of like, I don't know why I keep playing Persona 3, but I keep playing that.
This is the game where you play high school kids going down
into
dungeons at night.
Yeah, and they did something really stupid in this game, and I'm really being very gentle about how stupid it really is. Basically, the way the game is set up, when you like see some monsters and you get into a fight with them, through no action of your own, right? These monsters have this spell that can basically kill anyone in your party, and if your main guy dies, then it's game over, and you have to start back to the last save point, right? Well, so, like, if you find these guys, a certain type of enemy, right, they can cast this spell, and then there's just a random chance that it's going to be game over for you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
What?
Yeah, it's the most retarded thing I've ever seen. It's basically like somebody standing over the console with the reset button, and you know, one day he'll just decide to just press it, and then you have to start over.
I don't understand. You'll randomly come across an enemy that you're unable to beat?
No. It doesn't matter whether you beat them or not. They have this spell they can cast, right? So if they decide to cast the spell, then every time they do that, there's a certain percentage chance that your main character will die. If this happens, it's game over. There's nothing you can do. Absolutely nothing. You can try to run away, but then you can fail at running away. So effectively, it means that at any point in the game, right, there's a very, very small percentage chance that you just have to start over, no matter what you do.
Now,
and that's really, really stupid.
I have never been employed as a game designer myself. I am not the professional that you are. But that seems like a poor design choice.
That is a poor design. And speaking of professional game designers, I would like to announce to everybody listening.
Are we finally putting this out there?
That, yeah, we're totally putting it out there.
Okay.
That my services, my excellent services as a professional senior level game designer are now available.
On the market?
I'm on the market, as it were. That's right.
This is at a premium, I assume.
And, well, you know, quality always comes at a premium.
It does.
And you can email me at ara@housenet.org, or you can check out my website, which has my electronic portfolio and all the stuff I've done, at www.shirinian.net.
Oh yeah, they're gonna totally jump on that.
Are we gonna spell that out? We should just spell that out.
Shirinian. Shirinian.
There you go. It just rolls right off the tongue.
.net.
So my services are available if you want somebody who actually knows about designing things, and you know won't put in designs like "let's kill your player for no reason." Then you know, come talk to me. You know, maybe we can sort something out.
For the record, ara@chatterboxgameshow.com will also reach him.
That will also work.
And since you're Chatterboxers listening to the show, you might remember that address a little more easily.
And if you're a listener and you're thinking about hiring me, just make sure that you've got some salary to back that up, because I'm not going to do like your 5-minute game design for like $5 or whatever.
That would be funny and sad.
I just want to put a stop to any of those requests right off the bat.
All right, so we've got a lot of news. We haven't not really news, but things, ideas that have been on the back burner. We're going to talk about those later in the show. And I also want to mention a little bit about the whole change relating to EA's Battlefield game that we bitched about last week. And then immediately after we bitched about it, everything changes.
That's
Chatterbox
right. They listen
to the
us.
World.
That's
changes
right.
The world.
Listening to Arizona's News Talk leader, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
And I am Alon.
Now, last week, I made a promise that I would talk about a certain subject, about fun being, according to Warren Spector, a four-letter word.
And another thing we talked about last week was EA and their apparent attempt to take over the world with microtransactions. Tiny little microtransactions that invade your sleep and your day and your wallet.
Yes. So I'm going to make good on that promise. And I think that maybe you need to say a few more words about something else.
Oh, I do need to remind everyone that uat.edu is the great, the wonderful website. Did I mix those two words? Did I say great?
It's okay. It's allowed.
I think I did. Anyway, the website for the University of Advancing Technology is a great sponsor of this show. And if you go there, maybe you can learn how to make games, design games, produce games, code games, whatever you want. Or go into one of the many other fields that they offer that I know much less about. I went there for game design. Anyway, the EA thing. They have this game, Battlefield Bad Company.
Yeah, all right, let's get that out of the way first.
Well, I say it relates to last week, right? So we want to run that through first. They have their game, and they want to charge you extra money, or they said they were going to charge you extra money, if you wanted to have all the guns in the game.
Right. And then Chatterbox says no, and then EA said, oh, Chatterbox, we see you don't like this. We'll listen to you, and we're not going to do it anymore. Right?
The day after we talked about it, they announced, or someone reported that someone there claimed otherwise, right? So they were going to charge for the extra guns, and now it turns out, well, in case you weren't aware, there's two versions of the game you can buy, the normal version and the special edition. You know, tons of games these days let you buy a special edition, especially EA games. Madden always has a special edition or a black edition or a manager's edition, whatever the hell they call it, every year. And this game will have a special edition as well. If you buy the special edition, you can get the extra guns right on the disc. Probably get them on every disc, but you can use them right away. If you get the normal edition, you still don't have to pay for it, but you do have to get to the maximum level of 25 that your character can be experienced up to. But either way, if you want to use them, you'll have to opt into their marketing something.
And this is like kind of mysterious because, I mean, like, what do you think this could be?
Well, they've done something like this in the past. I can't remember what it related to, but they had a marketing thing. And so
maybe like you give them your personal information.
Well, yeah, I think it's for an email newsletter. And probably like you have to reply to the original email. So it has to be a real email address, you know?
Yeah. Sounds
so lame. You have to get into like some email marketing scheme of theirs. So not only do they collect an extra $10 on the special edition, and this isn't the only thing the special edition does, but it's part of it. They found a way to make you spend more money by releasing special editions. Now they also have marketing plans. I don't know if they're involved in any in-game advertising out there, but I'm sure they are working on it if they haven't been. And it's just so shady, man.
Well, at least like they've pulled back a little, although this just seems so ridiculously convoluted that, I don't know. I mean, at this point, I'm just like, not that I cared about the game before, but if I did, then I'd just be like, okay, well, just whatever. Just give me the game.
I'll tell you what, out of spite, I would sign up for their marketing stuff and then turn it off shortly afterwards. And I'm sure the guns would still work, right? But I would, just to piss them off, intentionally turn myself off. And I might even start a marketing campaign here on Chatterbox telling people to just turn it off.
You think that you can really escape the very vast grasp of marketing hands?
No, the truth is I actually have no expectation that we could have any effect. But anyone listening out there, go ahead and sign up, get your extra guns, and then intentionally turn it off as soon as you're able to.
And then toilet paper their cars.
Yeah. All right, so fun apparently is a four-letter word.
Okay, so here's a cool topic that has actually been mentioned before, but you can't mention something like this enough. So
we haven't actually gone and talked about this.
Not about this, like, on the show, but it's been brought up before in, like, you know, video game discussions in general, right? And before we really get into it, I want to give out the phone number. That's 866-536-1100. Give us a call. Tell us what you think. So Warren Spector writes this article about fun being a four-letter word in The Escapist. And, you know, he freely admits in the article that this isn't the first time that this issue has been discussed. Now, the first thing you might be thinking, okay, like, why is fun a four-letter word? Like, aren't games supposed to be fun? You have fun when you play games, don't you, Alon?
Well.
So what's wrong with having fun? I'm just going to assume
you
have fun.
I also play games and miss the fun on occasion.
Well, this is true. This happens as well. But here's the thing, is that if you really think about it, I mean, a lot of people think about games in terms of like, okay, well, if it's a good game, it's fun. And so like the idea of something, a game being good, somehow becomes synonymous with fun. But the danger here, one of the dangers that Warren talks about, is that it seems to be kind of like a self-limiting adjective, right? Because games are supposed to be fun, a lot of people think of them in terms of, okay, well, that's all they can be. And fun is a very, very limited word to describe an experience that's satisfying, right? One of the examples that he gives is there's this one movie he saw called The History of Violence, right? And that movie, you could never use the word fun to describe it. It's not fun, but it was satisfying. I never saw it. He says it's satisfying. I'll take his word for it. It was satisfying. It was interesting. It was intellectually stimulating, right? All this good stuff, but it was not fun, you know? And so the reason why I think that it's not a good enough word to describe, you know, a good game is because a game that's really good does a lot more things and sometimes maybe a lot different things than what you can construe as just being fun. Like, fun is just like very light, airy, fluffy word.
Right? See, I've always been very free to use it, saying that, you know, I define a game as being good if it produces fun.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's a limiting term, right? I mean, for example, movies, you know, when you go to a movie, do you say, oh, well, I know, was that fun? Was that a fun movie? Well, you know, some of the Hollywood blockbusters or whatever, right? But that's just like a certain type of movie, right?
Well, it's not really fair to compare the two, though, because a movie is less of an experience. Like, so I would say the movie is interesting or funny.
Right. They are different media. However, I think that they have enough similarity where you can compare them in that respect.
Because you actually interact with a game.
Well, you do too, but a movie is also a kind of experience. And if you really want to head down that road, I will with you. But you have different types of experiences, and we generally regard movies as kind of having, like, the gamut of the movie experience is much larger than, I think, what most people consider as, like, the gamut of the game experience.
Are you trying to say gamut?
Yeah.
Gamut?
Yeah.
All right, just clearing that up.
That's the way Ara Sharinian pronounces the word.
Okay. Okay. Well, then.
All right.
That's fine. So, I'm just saying, I think fun is certainly more applicable to a game. But, like, I can't think of an experience where I would want to play a game
right.
and not describe it as fun. Like, what if the game is very serious?
Let's think that's of, your like, limited experience, my friend.
Well, there are some games that are serious and, like, horror or whatever.
Right.
I don't know if I would even throw Resident Evil this way, but, like, Silent Hill. People say, very scary game. It's real serious. And if I watched the movie Silent Hill, there actually is a movie, right?
Right.
Watch the Silent Hill movie, I wouldn't necessarily refer to it as fun, because fun is relates to something I actually experience.
Right.
And I know you might say a movie is an experience, right? But something I interact with can be fun because it describes a verb.
Okay, let me put it this way, okay? There's nothing wrong with the game being fun. I just want to caution everybody to not let that word limit how you can perceive a game to be and how a satisfying experience of a game can be. Because there are other things like surmounting, and I talked about this before, like surmounting a really tough obstacle or a really tough challenge, right? I mean, there's a word for that emotion, and I mean, I guess in a way that you can say it's fun, right? But it's actually something more specific than that. Fun is kind of like a cop-out because you're not really getting into the meat of exactly why something is interesting or compelling or what have you.
So what is Spectre saying? How does he further complain about this? Because I think at this point I'm just sort of arguing semantics, and it's not related to video games. It's just
right.
related to the definition of the word fun.
Well, basically his thesis is that, you know, it's a limiting thing. It's like people generally think of games as they can only be fun, and while I think that maybe there's a certain subset of the population that thinks that way.
I can't think of another... I mean, there's certainly lots of words you could use to describe anything.
Yes. You please use different words. I'm just sick of the word fun.
Is that your goal?
Use different words. Yes.
Okay.
If that's all you can get out of this little tirade, then take that away.
Okay, so let's think of the game Red Star. How would you want me to describe this without using the word fun?
The Red Star, well, it's, you know, it's invigorating.
Oh, is it thought-provoking?
You know, it is thought-provoking.
Oh. Okay. Thought-provoking in that, like, I need to think about...
You need to think about, like, what weapons you use. No, no, come on. You need to think about, like, what weapon you want to use at a time. You have to manage resources. You have to juggle things in your head. You have to move around on the screen. Fun is just... It's too simplistic. It doesn't encapsulate everything that you can use to describe a game that's really good.
That's the beauty of it.
And that's my story.
One word. It's
I'm sticking to it.
All right. We'll be back with... actually, Scott, stay tuned. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
Righto, we're back. Chatterbox Video Game Radio with Alon.
Did you just say righto?
I did say righto.
Oh, my name is Ara, by the way.
Righto!
Indeed.
So, I've been very lackadaisical this whole show. I don't want to... I wanted to say at the end of last segment that, of course, we've got a couple of callers on the line. We want to get to them, and that's what we're going to do in this segment. So, let's go ahead and do that. Scott from Ontario, from the Canada.
Ontario.
Whatever.
Hi,
Gamut. You are on the air, sir.
What's up, Scott?
Can you hear me well?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to talk about PC versus consoles, but it looks like you guys are kind of low on time. I was also noticing last segment you guys were kind of arguing a little bit about whether the console or whether the video games can be described as fun.
Yes.
And by the way, for your question earlier, is Battlefield 2142 that did the little advertising campaign where they looked at what you browse on your internet and put up targeted advertisements in the game.
Oh,
would you describe that as fun?
Actually, I never even saw a single one. I played the game for like a year.
I could have sworn.
Yeah,
I actually
weird,
played that game once. I don't remember if I saw the advertising in it or not. Maybe billboards just don't fit in with the, you know, the scenery of things that are blown to hell.
Maybe they accidentally like put the billboards behind things.
Yeah. You know what I'd like to see? In Resident Evil 5, the game that people are having all this controversy over with the, you know, black people getting killed and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to see some good in-game advertising
yes.
in that.
Yes, which, by the way, seems to tell everybody from their last game, it's okay to kill Europeans who are, I guess they're like kind of, you know, dark-skinned, but...
N.G. Kroll, he has some things to say.
But not okay if they're really dark-skinned and look like they're from Africa.
Maybe we'll talk about that later.
All right. Scott.
We all saw the escapist Heavenly Sword little video he had.
All right, what are you talking about?
I missed that
one. No, the you guys were, I guess I thought you were referencing the Resident Evil 5 trailer and Heavenly Sword demo that Yahtzee was talking about.
See, I didn't read that, so I don't know the I know what Heavenly Sword is.
Yeah,
but I don't know how it relates.
Just the first part.
It was one of his earlier videos. He talked exactly what you guys are just saying right now. Anyway, I was going to touch back on what you guys were talking about when you said video games are kind of fun.
Well, I like to say they're fun because I like the fact that I can reduce the experience to a single word and say, okay, well, was it fun or was it not? And that's how I can define whether the game was good or not. And Ara doesn't like that I reduce it to this.
This is
it's kind of like I appreciate the concept of doublespeak introduced in 1984, or you know, reducing the speech. Fewer words are better, and Ara feels the other way. So, what about you, Scott?
You guys were, Alon, I kind of agree a bit more with Ara on this one, but you seem like you wanted to go in to kind of classify games. I'm going to actually quote Cliffy B on this one, because actually it seems like your opinion kind of is closest with his.
Alon loves Cliffy B so much.
Oh, I know that, yeah. That's why I said. Where he says video games are kind of more of like a lean forward experience, where you're always engaged in it, where movies are kind of lean back, where you're just kind of letting it occur, but it kind of varies a little bit, because, for example, the old Final Fantasies, not including 12, of course, where you basically had no real gameplay to speak of. It was pretty much all story. It wasn't so much along the lines of, you know, precise time controls, and it was all turn-based, so it wasn't actually too much along the lines of, quote, fun. It was more for other purposes that people liked it.
Wait. Well, so I think you're onto something. Maybe we can correlate the angle of a player's posture with the quality of a game.
Well, you preface this argument, Scott, with you think it varies. And I do more than think. It, like, guaranteed, it varies, right? The amount of interaction, I think, certainly relates.
I think that we're kind of used to having, you know, video game, or sorry, movies be, like, one thing, music be, like, another thing. I think video games is just too big to actually just be able to fit and say, you lean back when you play video games. It's kind of, or lean forward when you play video games. It's kind of hard to go and say, you know, video games is this, video games is that. It's just, I think you're just, it's just too wide open.
That's right. And this rampant categorization is limiting our thoughts and how we can think of these things and how we can experience them.
Yes, a very
and what we can make of them.
Video games run a very wide gamut.
That's right.
So, I mean, certainly there's a wide spectrum of gaming experiences. But clearly, if it's going to be called a video game and rather than a video story, there's some level of interaction. And there's also, I would claim that if there's interaction, there is also choice. Like, there's the ability to go down one path or another.
Of course.
There's always illusion of choice, right? I think Garrick can best...
At very least the illusion, but since
he's probably the one designing the levels to go and have three corridors that all end up in the same room anyway.
Oh, right? Don't even get me started
well,
on that.
Yes,
one.
But for one, the experience is not the result. The experience is the journey, and so by very definition, the game is different for people. You know, one takes this path, one takes this path, one takes this. Regardless that they all fight the same monster at the end.
Well, sure. I mean, everyone's perspective is different
yeah.
too.
Plus, even if it were simply the illusion, well, that's the whole point. You know, I'm experiencing this, and my perception of it is what defines it.
Right. Unless you perceive it as an illusion, and then you start getting pissed, and then you start not trusting the game, and then this is a whole mess of things happen.
Now we're delving into psychology.
But, that's right.
I'm actually kind of wondering, though, if. It's more along the lines that video games are kind of pressured to be everything. Like, you can't have a video game without... Well, you can, but, I mean, people tend to go in front of plan if you have a video game with single player with a story, but no multiplayer, or vice versa. If it's a Shadowrun, it's only multiplayer, but no single player part of it. I think people are kind of used to having the entire combo platter in front of them, and they're not just satisfied with just Hot Wings, for example.
Yeah, I also think that to go off of what you said, is that... not only do people do that, but I think there's a really great tendency among a lot of consumers to complain about things that they notice as missing just for its own sake. In other words, like, oh, I played that last game that had that. This game doesn't have that, so I'm going to complain about it. And if you actually start to, like, talk to these people about things like that, you realize that it's really not a complaint. It's just like, I don't know. It's just the only way that they can find to express themselves about, like, what's there isn't there about the game. So they find themselves just, like, complaining about things that might not necessarily be, like, real true criticisms.
Well,
actually, you're kind of preaching to the choir for that one. I kind of am pretty avid in the Unreal Tournament 3 sort of community, and they're used to having...
There's an Unreal Tournament 3 community?
...them having... a lot, but Unreal Tournament 3 didn't really deliver as much.
Right.
It was still well more than almost every other game that delivered this year, but it wasn't enough for what they were used to, so they complained, like, more than they complained about the games whose previous developers made crap, right? So,
right. Well, it's the easiest thing to be vocal about,
that's
certainly.
The thing. If you haven't already, you'll learn later in life that people who are really focused on a specific subject or topic or field of interest tend to be the ones to complain most. Luckily,
yes, I learned that one.
Luckily, those people are just a small vocal minority. So overall, probably a lot of people like it and they don't whine. They're like, oh, I have fun with this game. It was a good time, right? And so although I might complain about certain things, I mean, about some game I'm playing, let's say I'm a big Madden player because there's a lot of, like, non-hardcore gamers who play Madden, right? A lot of people probably love it. When, if we dissect it and compare it to 2K football games from years past, well, maybe the Madden games weren't as good as the 2K football games, and you can pick it apart and say, well, the control in this one was better, and all the different elements, and this was a better presentation, whatever. Bottom line is, the vast majority of people who got Madden thought it was fantastic, right? It was actually a good game for a while, so maybe they were right. But my point is, that there was surely a small group of people who would whine about it, and then the people who figure out how you can always win by throwing the same type of pass or something, right? So some small people will pick apart any product, whether it be a game or a movie or some other productivity software product or something. Small minority will pick it apart and complain. Luckily for those in customer service, it is a small minority. So anyway, thank you for your call, Scott. We've got someone else on the line, Penn from Maryland, but we're going to get to you after the break.
I got to say that that was one of the best calls I think we've ever gotten, and it's primarily because Scott agreed with almost everything I said.
All right. Well, I could see why you'd like that. He didn't like what I had to say. So
call us more, Scott. We like to hear those things.
I don't want to ever hear him again. That's how it goes. So anyway, we'll be back after the break.
Give us a call,
Scott. Stay tuned. If you want to give us a call, it's 866-536-1100.
Welcome back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
And I am Whitey Whitey Alani.
I'm more of a redneck, really.
I'm busy watching this Resident Evil 5 preview. I can't wait to talk about this in a minute.
Yes, you were absolutely...
This bothers me. Anyway.
Yeah, you looked a bit bothered during the break, I think.
Yes, and I'm sure that the wonderful marketing people over at UAT will be happy to hear my... my rant about the complaints lodged towards the Resident Evil 5 preview.
As they always are.
If you want to go there and join them, it's a very nice school. You know, uat.edu. You can check out pictures of the campus. Learn more about what they offer.
Can we safely say that they're not racist?
They are most definitely not racist. I've seen it.
All right. Good times.
Their student body runs the gamut.
You're not going to let me forget that, are you?
No, probably not. You did repeat it.
Just wait for even more differently pronounced words.
That would be fantastic. I got to find a way to mispronounce Shirinian one day. So we were talking about the four-letter word fun. We had Scott, the wonderful caller, who is banned for life from the show. And
call us again. You're not really banned, Scott.
Penn is waiting to be heard. So, Penn, you are on the air with Chatterbox.
Ara, I have never agreed with you more than I have tonight.
Yeah!
Didn't the first email we ever get from you just complain about Ara being a dumbass?
Yeah, basically.
All right, cool. But then
he came around and he saw the light.
All right, no, that's cool.
What are you agreeing with me on?
Well, a lot of times when I get into discussions about games, often when people aren't smart enough to sort of explain why a game they think is good and I disagree, they usually just try to get away with saying that, oh, it's just fun, and
yes!
I never accept that as an answer.
That's right. It's a cop-out, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just a cop-out. Someone who doesn't have either the vocabulary or their intelligence to say why something is enjoyable.
Down with that.
Listen, I would require to intelligently speak with anybody that if they describe the game as fun, and I don't agree, or I don't know anything about the game and I want to learn more, I would require that they be able to express themselves in a way other than just using that single word. But I like the fact that it exists, because if I can reduce it to that and say the game is fun, then that's my way of saying it is good. Right? But I would still want to be able to express why, what part of it makes it fun. So I'm not dismissing the use of other words and descriptors for games, right? I'd like people to be able to identify. And so in that respect, I think I might join you kids, you wacky kids who require more than the use of the word fun.
Well, I wasn't including you in the category of people who aren't intelligent enough to describe it, because obviously you are intelligent. But
I thought you were going to zing me. That was ripe for a zinging.
He was bracing for it.
Well, like the Madden thing that you described, you said that everyone enjoys Madden, but the majority of those gamers really aren't intelligent enough to know better.
Ooh. That was sort of my point, though. Like, the masses just sort of follow and they think it's good because they don't dissect it like we do.
Actually, that's a really interesting observation, because one thing that I've always thought was really interesting is that, and I'm kind of going in circles here, but... There's, all right, forget it. You know what? It'll come up later. Keep talking.
All right, fine. So you're saying that you agree with Ara. I'm kind of coming around with this. I know what you're saying. I just appreciate that we can simplify.
Yeah.
To a single
Well, because
term.
Someone like me, I enjoy games for their challenge. That's usually the word I use whenever I really love a game. For example, I beat Call of Duty 4, and recently I just finished Ghost Recon. And I really wasn't having, you know, fun, like, in the sense of the term of, you know, glee and joy while playing Ghost Recon, because it's a very challenging and demanding experience. But a puzzle is also challenging and demanding, yet you would describe it as fun.
I think I perhaps say that things are fun when I have a feeling of accomplishment, regardless of what it is. Like, it's fun when I climb over a large wall successfully.
When it's satisfying.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I got what I was going to say earlier, by the way. So check this out. This is like a little brief aside, right? Most people, when they play video games, and it actually took me a long time to realize this, they don't care where their entertainment comes from. In other words, they don't care about what part of their game that they're playing is fun or exciting or whatever, right? So when they play a game that has like really awesome graphics but really crappy gameplay, they still love it because they're like, oh, this is awesome graphics. They don't really have the depth of perception to say, like, to really like separate it, much like, you know, somebody who drinks wine can taste the different flavors in the wine, but somebody who's just, you know, not like a connoisseur is just like, oh, I like it or I don't like it, right?
Yeah.
So the funny thing is about games is that most people don't care what part of the game brings them the entertainment, right? It can have nothing to do with the game design or the game itself whatsoever. It could have everything to do with all the ancillary aspects of the game.
And I would argue that a lack of experience tends to create like a simpler environment for someone to enjoy it, right? So if I've seen everything there is to be seen and I see another game that's just more of the same,
right,
it's not going to present a lot of fun to me because I need that sort of variation.
Right.
With a wine drinker, if he comes across a glass of wine, there's like
sure,
all the rest.
Sure.
So I think it's sort of similar.
And this is why I think the development of a lot of games is going the way it is, with focusing on technology and visuals and stuff like that over the actual gameplay, is because
they're catering to the masses.
Yes, but more specifically because all that other stuff is easier to do right, because real design is hard to do. And so if you can satiate somebody, satisfy somebody by unloading all this other stuff, the awesome graphics and the cool technology and all that other stuff, then they're placated, right? And they don't bother to think why, but then, I mean, your game can still suck.
And that's why I started listening to Chatterbox, because the first time I heard Alon, he always seemed to be talking about gameplay and not just, you know, graphics and, you know, the soundtrack. And it's always frustrating when people, that's why I don't like God of War, because the mechanics of God of War are basically as simplistic as an SNES beat-em-up. And then when I go, Ninja Gaiden is the greatest game ever, it's because the mechanics are so complex and deep.
You know, right before you said that, I was about to give you an amen, brother, right before you got to Ninja Gaiden.
He doesn't like Ninja Gaiden. I still like God of War as well. But anyway, I want to move on because Norm, what do we have, like 2 minutes left? Just about 2 minutes. So now, Penn, while we've got you on the air, I want to talk about Resident Evil 5. Now, I'm one of those people, I don't see color. But while I was looking at my MySpace, someone pointed out that they think Penn might not be white. I don't know. Because I don't see these things, right?
Yeah, it's a possibility.
Completely colorblind. I know that you're an e-thug. Could be white.
I'm red.
Could be anything. But someone reported this to me. So I want to ask you while I've got you on the air here, this whole Resident Evil 5 thing, N.G. Kroll, he's a black journalist, or African-American, whatever you want to call it. I don't really care.
Excuse me, what did you just call him? He's a journalist. Thank you very much.
Regarding the Resident Evil 5 trailer, for those who don't know, and I'm speaking quickly because we only have another minute or so, Resident Evil 5 takes place in Haiti. You've got your white cop or, like, generic good guy shooting down, cutting, and shooting and destroying in many different ways a bunch of black people. Reminder, they're in Haiti. And so N.G. Kroll says, regarding the preview of the game, clearly no one black worked on this game, and the point is that you can't have here's the article I'm reading. Okay, so the point isn't that you can't have black zombies. There was a lot of imagery in that trailer that dovetailed with classic racist imagery. What was not funny but sort of interesting was that there were so many gamers who could not see it at all. Like, they literally couldn't see the racism. And I think that's actually great. It shows that we've progressed forward to the point that we're not seeing classic. The concept of classic racism doesn't exist in our brains,
well,
so we
zombies.
Can't identify it.
If it's a zombie, you know what? You're going to save the black zombies just because they're black?
All right. Quickly, 30 seconds. Do you have any opinion on this, Penn, while I've got you in there? Do you care?
Well, I think that if you're able to shoot Hispanic zombies in Resident Evil 4, then there should be no reason why you shouldn't be able to shoot black zombies. I mean, if it's a disease going around all over the world, like AIDS affects everybody, no matter what color, so should we not take care of Africa, who has this problem? Basically the same thing.
And next time we're going to take care of the Mongolian.
Yes, there'll be Asian zombies the next time. And another guy goes on, referring to what Angus Kroll had to say, says, on the other hand, anyone who watches the Resident Evil 5 preview and doesn't feel at least a little uncomfortable probably isn't paying attention. I watched it, and guess what? I don't feel the least bit uncomfortable. When the zombies grab onto the white guy and they're shoving his face into the sand and then he kills them, that's a game.
Yeah, you're clearly a racist.
Like, maybe the designers shouldn't have said it in Haiti if they didn't want to start the conflict. I don't know. But, like, I think it's a good thing that we don't see the racism because it just means we're progressing forward.
Good times.
End of show. We'll be back next week, everybody.
Good night.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.